The most insane rumor in rugby is that Rusty Rasmus needs to go. I could not believe my eyes. And in this episode, you are going to get a front row seat to why Rusty's critics were not just wrong, they were spectacularly, unbelievably wrong. To be very clear, I truly believe that the people saying Erasmus must go were nothing but a vocal minority. But it shows how fickle we can be as sports fans. When the team is winning, everyone loves them. One defeat, or two, and the knives are out. Why do we turn so quickly on our heroes? I'm going to tell you the truth behind this fan mentality and how it connects directly to the accusations against Rusty. Incredibly, after winning 24 out of 27 test matches, the Springboks crashed to a stunning 38-22 defeat to Australia at Ellis Park. The knives were out. And then two tests later, when we were defeated 24-17 by New Zealand at Eden Park, I saw those same comments, the same posts, the same vitriol. Now I grant you the loss at Ellis Park was a bad one, and the reverse at Eden Park could have been avoided with a stronger performance. But look, you can't win every match. And despite us being the current world champions and holding the number one ranking, we have no divine right to win every test we play. Winning and losing is not only a part of sport, but also a part of life. The naysayers said Rusty had become too big for his boots. Erasmus was accused of having become arrogant. Some said Doc was only interested in getting a new, more lucrative contract from Saru. Others said the opposition had figured out his tricks. There were those who said he brought it upon himself by constantly chopping and changing the team. Let me address all of those things one at a time. Firstly, I think accusations of arrogance are completely unfounded. After both of those defeats, Dr. Rusty Erasmus fronted up in his post-match press conferences and took the blame. He said both of those losses were his fault, as well as those of his coaching staff. Now, I would say that perhaps there might have been some complacency from some of the players. It is possible, maybe even likely. But then there were the accusations that he was only interested in a new, more lucrative contract from Saru. I also strongly disagree with that. When Doc came back to South Africa and took the Springbok job as director of rugby in 2018, he signed a six-year contract. That was then renewed, and there has been talk of an extension to the 2031 Rugby World Cup. I have no problem with that. Our most successful coach ever has earned the right to have whatever contract he wants. Within reason, of course. And it's also a matter of job security, not just for Rusty, but for Saru too. We understand Rusty's loyalty and love for the Springboks and South Africa as a country. So as long as Saru is paying him a fair wage, he won't leave. Similarly, if his contract is not renewed, big dogs like England, Ireland, Australia, maybe even France, could come fishing in our waters. Would we want our beloved coach poached by one of those sharks? Or alternatively, a rich French or Japanese club could do that too. So I don't agree with that accusation at all, especially the implication that Erasmus is greedy. For context, a rugby player earns peanuts in comparison to other big world sports like football and the American sports like their football, baseball, basketball, and ice hockey. The same applies to the coaches. These guys are not greedy. If anything, they are underpaid. And just to be clear, if we don't renew Rusty's contract, potentially he gets poached by one of those other guys, and then we have to find a replacement for him. And yes, the day will eventually come where we do need to replace Dr. Rusty Erasmus. But I say for now, we keep him for as long as we possibly can. If he's at the helm for 20 years, so be it. Let's talk about the idea that the opposition had figured out his tricks. Rusty has an incredible amount of tricks in his magic box. Think of the bomb squad. Not just 6-2, but 7-1. The box kicks. The disco lights. Short kickoffs to force a scrum. Tony ball, midfield lineouts, etc. Are some of them eccentric? Sure. But they all serve a purpose. For one, our opponents are always guessing. Just when they think they've got him figured out, he does some other new or innovative or unexpected thing. Now, yes, once Doc has shown his hand, the opponent can obviously prepare for it. We saw the All Blacks had clearly planned for us using the midfield lineout in Auckland, for example. But a coach who has 26 wins in 30 tests is not a man who should be losing sleep over the opposition outsmarting him. And as long as Erasmus continues with the innovation, I believe he will remain one step ahead of the rest. And then Kulisi! Again, that does not mean we will never lose, but it does mean we can expect consistently good results over a sustained period of time. Finally, let's address the idea that our defeats were because of him constantly chopping and changing the team. Now, yes, it is true that he has done that, but what one man calls chopping and changing, I call squad rotation. Both last year and this season, Doc has selected 50-plus players to don the famous green and gold jersey. We all know what Oxenchair can do at Lucid, so let's see how Gerard Steenkamp goes there. Okay, he's injured. Let's put Jan-Hendrik Wessels in the number one jersey. There's also Buan Venter. Let's see if he can deliver. Now, I'm not saying that it necessarily means all those guys are in the same league as Nche. After all, Ox is the best Lucid in the world. But it does mean that should Ox get injured, we will know exactly who should come in. Or, as is the current case with Steenkamp out injured, we can now get a clear indication of who the next guy is, and or should be. However, there are pros and cons to almost everything in life, and the negative here is that it disrupts continuity. And so with us building depth and trying to have two or even three capable players in every position, it means that guys are going to take longer to get used to what the coaches are asking of them. It also means that gelling is something that will take longer. And perhaps the biggest one of them all, trust. If I've played 30 tests with the man next to me, I know I can trust him. Great example is Damien Dialende and Jesse Creel. They hold the record for the most number of tests together as a Springbok centre pairing. And do you know who is second on that list? Damien Dialende and Lukanyo Am. That is the kind of scenario Rassie is trying to get to. And ultimately, it just means we have to be patient. For a team of 15 to get used to the systems, it will take X amount of time. But we're looking at between 30 and 45 players here that we all want to have comfortable. So it really means it should take 2X or even 3X the amount of time. And when we say 15, 30, 45, we may as well be saying 23, 46, 69. You get my point. So again, just a little patience. And that record-breaking 43-10 win over the All Blacks in Wellington shows just what is capable when it clicks. And I have a feeling that going forward we can expect a lot more clicking. But what's your take? Did you lose faith in Rassie after those losses? Or were you patient enough to wait for the magic to return? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I'd like to encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. There are great benefits if you do so. The link is in the description area down below. You could win yourself the brand new Eben Etzebeth biography that's coming out soon. You could win yourself the brand new James Small biography that's coming out in the next few weeks. You could also get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. Maybe have quarterly Zoom calls where we discuss Springbok matches, tactics, old players, history. All that sort of stuff. You might even be able to get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online merchandise store, as well as win yourself Springbok merchandise and cool gear. But in order to make that happen, you need to sign up as a patron. Head on over to my Patreon page and click on the link below. It'll get you there. Why do I want you to do that? Well, I would love to do this full time, and I would love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under with daily coverage. It starts from as little as $5 US per month, that's US, not Zim, and any support will be greatly appreciated. Head on over there, click on that link, sign up as a patron, and I'll see you next time.